Gun track stunt color. Yeah, you know that's us. Where we only speak the real and the real rock with us. Where we motivate the people and politic on success. Oh no, we ain't DJ Khaled, but they swearin' we the best. Gun track uncle. Gun track uncle. Gun track uncle.
What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 21. Man, big shout outs to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. It's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Juan Dollars, like I won some money. Ladies and gentlemen, today we got a really incredibly dope young special guest. You know, he's from Bakersfield, California, the hometown. He's been destined for greatness when it comes to this football with his work ethics, going back to when I first seen you play at BHS, that's Bakersfield High School, for those that don't know. You know, this brother 3 years ago, you was just balling, bro. You was quarterback, you was running, you was throwing, you was making plays, and you didn't let nothing come in your area. You was a lockdown safety slash corner, like nothing came in your zone. And I knew right there that you was gonna be next level. And so, you know, with all due respect, this brother continued to go. As elusive as he was, he became first team all area locally and, you know, nationally ranked the 29th safety in the country, earning a scholarship to play D1 at the University of Washington. As a true freshman, this brother earned his way up there as a starter, starting 7 games, amassing 32 tackles, 3 interceptions, earning second team freshman All-American. If you don't know who I'm talking about by now, it's all good. We got all episode to chop it up with, you know, Bakersfield's very own Cam Williams. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. You know, just living life out here in Seattle. Appreciate all the love, though, man. For real.
Hell yeah, bro. I gotta ask, you know, for those that are lacking on knowing, what's the normal 24 hours for you?
You know, wake up. Well, right now, since we're in quarantine, we don't know what's going on. We just found out we're about to play the season. So right now, it's just waking up. You know, we start school next week. Waking up, go outside, maybe work out a little bit. Come back and just chill. Honestly, man, right now it's just all the football players, I feel like, in the Pac-12 are just chilling, waiting, staying ready. And like I said, they just told us that we're playing our season, so I'm ready.
Come on, let's go. Let's go, bro. I got a quote. Let me know how this quote relates to you, or if it doesn't, the ideas, I want you to talk about it. You ready? All right, let's get it.
Yep.
What separates us is that we expect to be great. Deion Sanders, prime time. We'll run that one more time.
Say that one more time. I cannot.
It's all good. The quote is, what separates us is that we expect to be great. And you know, it's episode 21. It's prime time. Deion Sanders said that.
I feel like you have to have high expectations for yourself. But you can't let those high expectations of others get to you, honestly. It's all of a different – for me, it's a different mentality, a different mindset going into whatever you're doing, no matter if it's football, no matter what sport it is. You can't – I say
– Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Go ahead. Say it one more time. Say it one more time.
What separates us is that we expect to be great.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, just different mindset, different mentality going into whatever you're going into. Preparation, like I said all the time to my teammates, cornerbacks, preparation is what's going to get you ahead of everybody else. No matter if you're, like I said, playing football, softball, what you know is going to make it easier for yourself. You're going to react to certain things that you didn't know before, but if you prepare right, if you have that different mindset, I feel like you will get whatever's in front of you.
You're speaking about being great.
You know what I'm saying?
You're speaking about being great. All of those elements and playing those sports and getting to that point, whatever you do, you add greatness to that when you rise above and you put in the work. And so, speaking about football, I got to ask you, Cam, did the game choose you or did you choose the game?
I chose the game. You know, as a little kid, I played baseball, basketball. You know, I play soccer for a little bit, not for a club, but just at school and stuff. So I was just very athletic in every sport. So, but my high school, my first year of high school, I played baseball and football. And then after that year, I just chose football, and I just felt like, you know, it stuck with me because I started when I was 8 years old playing for the Knights, you know, going to the Southwest Mustangs, and then from there going to BHS, and I just felt like football was always just with me. You feel me? So, you know, I just exceeded from there, and now I look where it got me. So now, I'm confident in that. So, yep.
From there, bro, when was your confirmation that, you know, you felt like this is what I'm supposed to do? Because, you know, I ain't going to talk about what the media talks about you, but, you know, they calling you a future draft pick here whenever you choose to make that leap.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't like, you know, going on social media and reacting to stuff like that. You know, like I said, that just gets into people's head. I don't let it get into my head. I see it. I'm like, okay, you know, I still got to do what I got to do. And, you know, from there on, I'm still learning a lot of stuff. Even though I started as a freshman last year, I'm still learning a whole bunch of stuff. That's what people don't know. They think it's just because I started, I'm just the greatest. And it's not like that. So I'll tell them, you know, it's a lot more to come for me. You'll see a lot more, and I'll be ready for what's ahead of me. So, yep.
But when was your first confirmation? Was it, you know, was it high school football where it gave you your first confirmation that football is what you're supposed to do collegiately? Like, you know, when was that moment where it was like, damn, this is it. This is easy for me.
Yeah. I would say high school. I would say high school, you know, because junior high, I was just like, oh, do I want to play baseball? Do I want to play football? I might want to play basketball. But high school, I would say, like I said, sophomore year was probably was like, I was like, okay, yeah, football is it for me, so.
Sophomore varsity, I see you. I see you.
Yeah,
bro. What are you thinking when you hit the field, bro? Play after play, just running through your mind.
Well, I'll tell you about my first game. My first game, I was really nervous. You know, I was a freshman, starting true freshman. My first game, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to see. I didn't know, you know. So, like I said, I was fully prepared though. But at the same time, it was my first game at the collegiate level. So, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. But as soon as I hit the field, it was just – I saw all the fans, and it was crazy. And, like, it's a different feeling. Too many nerves, though, and it's just, you know, you're locked in. Just like high school, just like any other sport or just like any other game. I just, like, once you're –
Hell yeah, no, absolutely. I know after the nerves calmed down, you felt like when you was a little kid playing underneath the lights from the car or the street lights or whatever, so have you, so that, you know, you got that energy back. Because, I mean, honestly, the way how you be gelling, bro, you know, it don't feel like that strength of stress is hitting you too hard. You play like you forget, you know, whatever happens to play before because you locked on for the next.
Oh, yeah, for you have to play that way. You have to. It's like, if you mess up and if you focus on that one play throughout the whole game, it's like, damn, like, I'm still fucking up. You feel me? Sorry for if I'm cursing, but
good.
It's like, you know, you got to just have a growth mindset each and every play, because each and every play is a different play. And if you mess up, it's like, okay, on to the next. Because right after that next play, it's like they're on the ball, boom, boom, boom. You got to forget about it. So you got to, you know, forget everything.
Come on. Even if it was
a good play. If it was a good play, you got to intercept it. An interception, you got to forget about that and go on to the next.
Come on, because if your head gets too big, it'll slow you down. And if you ain't thinking right and you slow, you know, it's bad out there on the field.
right.
Man, for those that don't know, Bakersfield has a ton of talent. It's hella people making it out, you know, whether it's basketball, football. But, you know, primarily this town has put out a lot of great football athletes. And, you know, I just wanted you to weigh in on your experience of the football culture out here.
It's crazy. So, growing up playing GYF, it was intense. You know, 8 years old, 9 years, 10 years old, all I saw was, you know, varsity players going to BHS. And me not knowing, you know, what high school football was, I was like, dang, I want to go to BHS. I want to go to Liberty. And watching, like, Chris Hannibal, Derek Vickers and all those guys playing at BHS, it was just like, dang, it was surreal. So, you know, actually watching him and learning from him from them and actually listening to what other people had to say about them. It just, I had, like, it put a different mentality on me because I just knew what to expect from them. And they knew what to expect from me because I talked to them a lot. And, you know, they just gave me a lot of information to go off of. And I went off of that. And, you know, I grew and became the player I am today. So, yeah.
And see, something else to put in perspective is that people don't know the streets out here is wild in Bakersfield. You know, there's a whole bunch of pressure that comes along with going to high school. You know, people that don't know, I'm born in L.A. and then I was raised in Bakersfield. When I tell people I'm from Bakersfield, they be like, man, that's just nothing but cows and fields and stuff. And they don't
right.
They only take the 5 to the Bay. They don't take the 99. And so their perception is what they see. And, you know, you have to let them know, and they be thinking like this, that, and the third. You showing some content of, like, what's real, what the news talk about this city. And it's like, no, it's a struggle to go out here and make it. And, you know, being out here, it could be, you know, it could be just like L.A. The streets is wild.
The streets are wild in Bakersfield. A lot of people don't get that. You know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't know what to do after high school. It's crazy to me because, you know, that's what it is. That's the mentality that everyone has in Bakersfield. Oh, I can't get this. I can't do that. So I'm not going to do nothing at all. And they just sit back and watch a lot of people just, you know, achieve their dreams when they can do what they can do. So I feel like in Bakersfield, sorry for the loud noise, but I feel like in Bakersfield, a lot of people, they fail because they compare themselves to others. And when you do that, it's like, I feel like you think you should have what others have already, and that just sets you back even further. And for me, it was just like, I'm not going to compare myself to anybody. I'm going to just do what I got to do, do this, do that, focus on my grades, and, you know, go from there. And it was simple. Honestly, it's simple. I know it's hard. A lot of people say it's hard. It is hard, especially coming out of Bakersfield, because not a lot of people do it. Not a lot of people do it. And when you do it, you get a lot of praise. I love Bakersfield 661. That's, you know, that's where I was born and raised. So it's love from there. So,
you know, a big reason why I have this show is, one, to praise personal success stories, because, you know, one, coming from where we come from, a lot of people don't know it's the same thing as it's coming out the gutter. And, you know, you have to make decisions. And, you know, growing up with your folks is pretty much, you know, whatever. So have you, they could be all broke. They could be all getting money through the streets. They could be doing anything. And it's important that you have your own vision, because if there's 4 or 5 of y'all that's broke, you're going to be the 5th or 6th person that's broke along with it. So you got to break that cycle. And from that, you know, people are afraid of success. They're afraid to get outside of their bubble. They're afraid to not mess with outside of their folks. And from that, you know, you don't realize that there's so much to life. And I put this show together so that the common denominators talk about success. So if people have a blueprint, they're trying to do things. What you may have done coming from this city and knowing that all this is out there, you still stay tunnel vision and focus, and you got somewhere where it's a full ride scholarship and your education's paid for, you know, you're enjoying the whole process. People don't know college is fun, and you're getting it.
Hey, man, it's fun. But yeah, like you said, my parents, like you said, my parents barely graduated high school. They didn't go to college. They had me at an early age, you know, so they did whatever for me and for my siblings growing up. So I saw the struggle. I saw it all. I feel like that's why I'm kind of ahead of others, because my mom and my dad just taught me just a lot of stuff about life in general, just life, relationships, just how to respect other people. Don't ever put your hands on a female, stuff like that. So I just feel like I saw the struggle. They helped me with it. And as a child, I just saw a lot. So that helped me with a lot growing up. And like you said, having a tunnel vision, staying focused is pretty hard. But as you grow older, you kind of get why your dad was so tough on you, your mom was so tough on you and stuff like that. So, I mean, for kids, I feel like you don't understand why a lot of that happens. But as you get older, you actually do. And it's crazy, because as I got older, I just started figuring out more stuff, and I smiled because it's just crazy to me, as I just didn't understand it. But now, when I'm about to turn 20 in February, it's just crazy. Life is crazy, man. So I'm gonna stay focused and do what I gotta do.
It'll all start making sense. That's the thing about time. Time will give you answers you didn't even think about. It'd be 3-4 years and be like, man, that one night where this crazy shit happened, I didn't understand why it happened. And then boom, there's the answer and be like, oh shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bless it. Bruh, it's safe to say, I feel like your parents are the answer to this question, but I still like to ask everybody this question. Who do we owe the thank you for investing? The dream could be real for you, that you can get a scholarship, you can make it out of the hood, and you can play football and be inspiration to others. Who do we owe that thank you to?
Hey, that's definitely going to my mom and my pops, man. That's definitely going to them. Like I said, they had me at a young age, so I feel like I look at them like, dang, how did you do it? I'm 16 years old as a sophomore. I'm like, how did you do it? So it's like, it's crazy to me because I knew it was a struggle. I knew it was a lot. But at the end of the day, they always figured things out to get what I wanted, to get what I needed to get. And I feel like right now I can't thank them enough. I can't thank them enough. So my goal is to get to the league, and that's how I'm going to thank them. So.
That's right. I want to make sure I give love to your pop. Shout out EJ Williams. That brother, he really puts on for the community out here in Bakersfield and giving back and teaching these young kids how to play football and, you know, growing the steps of how to be a man. You know, he has a great example of his own son that's headed in the right direction. So everyone watching, if you hear about EJ Williams coaching your son, it's a real blessing.
Yes, sir.
So, bro, I got to ask this now. What's one thing people got fucked up about collegiate sports?
What's one thing people got fucked up about collegiate sports? Give me more. Explain that. What do you want? I don't know.
Because, bro, you know, all right, for those that don't know, I was at UC Santa Barbara for my college days. One, it was a party school, so it was a struggle. Two, I got a job for the women's basketball team as a team manager. And one thing I learned about them women and men's basketball team is that they have to do 20 hours a week in study hall, and they have to report. And then on top of that, they got to check in, like they got a pimp that's running everything for everything they doing. And people that go to college, that it's just easy that you're going to run through it, play your games, and then get to the league or get to your degree. And they got that shit fucked up because I dropped out. That shit wasn't easy.
Yeah. See a lot of people think just because we're in college that we just have it all. And I don't think we do, because we're still humans. After we go work out in the morning, after class, we still have to go home, clean, you know. And a lot of people think we have, since we have a scholarship, everything is just paid for. And majority of it is. But like I said, outside of football, outside of school, we're still humans. We have to go home, pay bills. So I would say college for me is, it's fun. But I feel like I'm not living comfortably, and that's the biggest part for me. So I feel like we just don't have it all like others think we do, and that's all I got to say, man. I don't want to say too much. So
I say one thing that I will say is a blessing about why you should go to college and play sports, because if they have a sponsor, because UC Santa Barbara had a Nike sponsorship, and bruh, when I say the shoes, the shorts, the shirts, the hoodies, the sweatpants, immaculate. Ain't no one else got it. They got all these colors for my school colors. That shit bust.
But that's what, from that part, that's what we've earned, though. Our whole life, we've been working up to that point, and it's like we got the scholarship. Now people are mad we get all this gear. That's what we've earned. That's what we've earned. And like, it's like I look at them, I'm like, I've earned it. I'm going to keep getting it because I'm going to still work for it. So,
well, above that, you also go, you worked your way to a D1 university that is nationally televised. You know, being nationally televised allows for bigger sponsors and bigger money to be put in the program, so that when you have facilities that recruit you to make you feel comfortable and going there, you like, you know what, this is starting to feel like home. And eventually, you know, that home led you to Washington.
Right. Right. So I would say from that part, I feel like, you know, a lot of salesmen and a lot of coaches, a lot of coaches are salesmen. And I feel like you kind of figure out what coaches like genuinely are real to you. And I felt like Coach Pete, when he was recruiting me, Coach Lake and Coach Harris, they were all real. You just felt that love. You felt that realness from them.
next level with preparation. They prepared me for whatever is coming my way. And from other schools, I didn't feel it like I didn't feel that way. Like Oregon, I don't mean to like throw names out there, but it's just I didn't feel that. So it was kind of easy for me to make my decision from that.
Okay, that's right.
If I answered your question right.
Hell yeah. Shit, you gave me a that plus some. Hey, Cam, I got to ask, man, what's been your top three football moments so far?
Ooh, I got to say SC game for sure, man. SC, my first interception against Hawaii, that was the best one, I think, because that was just the first one in my collegiate career. And other than that, I would say both of the interceptions from the SD game. That first one was nice though. I like that one.
Hey, that's
my top three.
I made that easy for you, bro. I was like, bro, I had three interceptions last year. I wonder if he gonna pick all three.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
I had to, man. Yeah.
People don't understand what it feels like to get a turnover and that energy where the whole crowd's going crazy for what you did.
Crazy. That's what I'm saying. It's like everybody's watching you. So if you make a big play, it's like all eyes is on you for that 15, 30 seconds. So it's cool, man.
Come on. It's turn up time. Turn up, turn up. Bro, what's the goal? What's the next step after college? I know you said that the goal is to go to the league, but are you trying to get a degree before you go? Are you trying to speed up your classes? So you taking heavy loads off season? You know, if you're trying to give out that information, I ain't trying to have you say too much, but I want to do something like that because I know, you know, it's just a little privacy.
Dude, I just say, man, I just want to make it to the league, man. That's my goal. You know, I'm for sure going to get my degree. That's not a question. I'm for sure going to get my degree, but that's right now. No matter if I go in 3 years, no matter if I go in four, I'm going to get my degree. I want to make it to the league. And then from there, no matter how short or long my career is, you know, just have a backup plan. So that's just a little bit.
You know, something I'm going to tell you, I heard Magic Johnson speaking at a BET Awards event like 2 years ago. And one thing he said that a lot of people that make it to professional sports and they make it into that small, small field. In the NFL, it's only 1,700 athletes. That's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from that perception, he said one thing you have to battle is you can't be so friendly to give out all your money. So, you know, be wise, get people jobs, make them earn everything. And you know what? They're going to say thank you so much because you put them in position to keep on winning.
Right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I would say that's low-key my problem. I'm a type of guy to not say no. I'm the type of guy to be like, okay, here you go, boom. Oh, you need some more? You need some more? So I do need to work on that stuff. But at the end of the day, I just feel like for the people who helped you get to where you are, you for sure got to help them. You for sure got to make sure they're right, like my mom, my dad, my family. I know who I'm going to get right, and that's it right there, man. So, yeah.
That's right. No, you got your priorities straight, brother. I got my next segment. It's my awareness segment. We're going to take a pause and talk about sports. We're going to run through this quickly and you know, close out. And my awareness segment.
Yeah.
You know, knowledge is power, but when you use that knowledge, it's a superpower. And so I like to ask all my guests, you know, when's the last time they were pulled over? And what's some advice they can give in the situation of interacting with the police while getting pulled over so that, you know, growing along in this situation and the time we're in, that they can maneuver and get out?
Honestly, being pulled over for a black man, I'm going to be honest with you, it's pretty scary. Like what you see on Twitter, what you see on social media, what they say, it's true. And a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't see it, and when they do see it, you guys see it on social media. A lot of black men getting beat. So I feel like if you do get pulled over, when you do get pulled over, it might happen, it probably will happen in your lifetime. So I just feel like just be respectful, no matter who it is, no matter what the situation is. Just be respectful, do what you got to do, just to ease out that situation. And that's how I take on everything. Just be respectful, you know what you're there for. He tells you stuff like that, so just do that and go about your day, man. It's crazy out there. So.
You know, specifically growing up in Bakersfield, you know, the police out here don't play. They known to shoot you first and then ask questions or make it make sense to people later. And, you know, that's just the sad reality. We don't get enough of that highlight of what goes on until, like, a company from the overseas in Europe does a study on us, and then that makes, you know, the times. And it's so important that we raise awareness, because out here you get pulled over and profiled like it's nothing. And I appreciate you, bro, giving the knowledge and the testimony of how to maneuver, because a lot of people just got to just hear it, bro. They got to hear it. They see somebody that's in a great spot. They also got to see that you know, they do certain things to move that way so that they can be in that spot.
Right.
So my next segment is called Impulse Q&A. It's just like it is. I got impulse questions. I want your impulse answer. You don't like my question, it's all good. Just say pass. I got three of them that you got to answer. Are you ready?
Yep.
Question number one. What is something that you wish was automated?
Taxes.
All right. Question number two. If you were trapped on a plane for 10 hours, headed somewhere, where are you going and who's riding with you?
For 10 hours? It could be anybody.
Yep, anybody, dead or alive, shit. Let's go.
I'll probably take one of my family members, my uncle. You know, we just get along. That's my uncle. I grew up with him. That's my idol, man. That's enough. He taught me a lot of stuff. Just stuff like that. That's it. You know, that's my uncle, man.
All right,
you got that?
Hell yeah. I mean, she was hella broken up, but I got it. Your uncle. Hey, shit. I got you. All right, question number three. Would you rather give up salt or sugar?
Salt. What? Yeah. Salt. Hold on. That's a lot of food. Salt goes in a lot of foods. Let me rethink that. I think I'm gonna go with sugar. I'm gonna have to give that up.
I was going to say, bro, you can't go to the South. There's so much food.
Yeah, I'm tripping. Let me rethink that. I'm going to have to let go of sugar.
Man, bro, I mean, when we get older, they say that we're supposed to cut our salt out, you feel me? But you know what? You're an athlete, so I understand you want to keep the sugar because that's the one thing that make you feel young.
Yeah, I'll say that, yeah. That's true.
So, bro, you have survived my awareness segment. You have survived my impulse Q&A. And as a reward, you know, what do you want people, who you want to shout out? You know, what's something you want people to know that they have not known and what to expect?
I'm going to just shout out, you know, Bakersfield. Like I said, 661. It's all love from there. Shout out my dad, my mom, my uncle, my grandma, my siblings. My whole family, man, it's, you know, it's all up. My Uncle Dayton, his wife, Shelly, it's like a second mom to me. My brothers, Isaiah, Isaac, and Ian. It's all love, man. They know what's up.
Oh, yeah, no, shout out Pro Way, shout out the Jernigans. I feel you, brother.
Thank all of that.
I feel you, bro. Man, bro, if you notice, my show is different. It's unique. You know, I got questions because they say we gotta have questions and segments, but I don't do them segments and questions like them other guys. And I'm like, how do I keep that same energy and close out? And the viewers knows it's coming. I'm gonna hit you with it. You got any questions for me?
What made you start this show?
keep it real. A lot of people told me no. No, I can't join the radio station. No, I can't get my application approved. I can't join this podcast. And so I did my own. And then, you know, when you get a, you're doing something the world receives, the world will give something back to you. And then I got some people behind it, and it's been a blessing.
Yes, sir. I got another one. Is this what you always wanted to do, though?
Be real 100 with you. My dream is to work at ESPN and run SportsCenter. Keep it 100. Like, as a kid, I used to watch SportsCenter more than anything. And, you know, that's the only thing where it hits you with a little bit of drama, but majority of the time it just tell you nothing but sports. And life has always been crazy for me, so sports was the one thing that's been consistent. And so that's what I was always wanted to do. But since I got in the music game, all this shit connects, and I love it. So, Cam, bro, I appreciate you, bro. It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 21. Big shout-outs to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. I wouldn't be able to do incredibly dope shit like chopping up with Mr. Second Team All-American Cam Williams that's putting on as a true freshman now in his sophomore year at Washington. You know, when the season come around, Pac-12 rolls around, make sure y'all tune in and watch this, brother, because he puts on. You know, he already got a bowl win underneath his ring, and he's going to continue to put on and make sure it's something fun to watch. You know, he don't ever get extra crispy out there. He slows that shit down like Cool Whip. Salute.
Yes, sir.
This
really
What's up? This is Derek. You are tuned in. Trash Cut is going down. Shout out Bobby D and Uncle Snoop's Army. Let's go.
Hey. Come on. Man, I know you guys can't smell this right now, and I ain't talking about none of that other stuff. I'm talking about some of that good stuff, that smell good stuff. I think it's breakfast. What time is it? It's breakfast time. Make sure you tune in to Contrast Uncut no matter what you're doing. Whether you're eating breakfast, you're smelling good food like I'm smelling, or if you're smelling other stuff, we're good to watch too. Make sure you tune in. Thank you.